Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Transportation System.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Double Dose of Disney podcast. As always, my name is Brittany and I am joined here today by my Findin' Nemo loving husband, Tony. Of all the parks at Walt Disney World, the one that families seem to be most hesitant to go to is Epcot. This park was originally dreamt up by Walt before Disney World became into existence, and obviously Walt had passed away by the time that Epcot opened, so it really evolved a lot over time. When Epcot initially opened, it was kind of an edutainment park. So in the front of the park, it had, it was called Future World. And there was like a lot of different things that were teaching you about everything from like the human body to how energy is made and all of those things. And then in the back of the park, it was the countries around the world. Over time, the park has evolved a lot. And a lot of people just feel like this park, they have a lot of misconceptions about the park having being a place for grown-ups because of the food and drinks and stuff like that. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Speaking from personal experience, we've gotten to create some of our best memories of our past trip with our three-month-olds in Epcot alone. So today we're breaking down fun things to do in Epcot with kids, whether that be babies and toddlers, preschoolers, older ones, you name it.
Yeah, this is a controversial.
Right.
It's a controversial part. And now we actually have a lot of input we can add to this conversation.
True.
Since we're on both sides. Before we had kids, and now we've got our little ones there, like we've got a lot of first-hand knowledge experience and like what we saw, what not just advice on what we think or, you know.
Yeah.
We've been there both sides now, so it's going to be good.
Yeah, and like Epcot's going through a lot of changes right now. Like I said, when I went to Epcot in the 90s, there was an attraction there called Body Wars, and you were like traveling inside the human body. It was weird. There was like Ellen's Energy Adventure, or there were a lot of different things that were going on in the park, and Disney's done like a really good job of incorporating familiar characters into the park now in a way that I still feel like preserves Epcot being Epcot, like teaching people about things, but using people from characters from different movies to do that, you know? And plus, what I'm really excited about is today, when we are recording this, Disney just dropped like huge news because Epcot's been having a ton of construction going on there. I don't think Tony's never seen Epcot with all the walls up. I obviously haven't seen it since I was a kid. Without the walls up, but on June 10th, the walls are coming down, baby.
Well, that's just it. You said, over again, this is most people's preconceived like idea. Where you're envisioning Epcot of what it used to be.
Right.
If you haven't kept up with it over the years, you have no clue.
Are you talking about my mother?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get into it all, but yeah, you just don't know.
Right. You don't know what you don't know. Yeah.
Because it's definitely changed a lot, and they're purposely making it more kid friendly, because I think they just heard it for too long.
Yeah.
Too many times we're hearing, you know, Epcot's not a kid friendly. We're just skip Epcot, or you know.
Right. At Epcot, like Tony said, we'll talk about it in here, but at Epcot, there's been so many things that they've recently added. Starting on June 10th, the walls are going to come down in the front of Epcot, and World Celebration. Epcot's redone the names of like the areas, and we'll talk about those. But the walls are coming down at CommuniCore Hall and Plaza, which is going to be where the festivals are going to take place. And to celebrate it, they're going to have, an Encanto musical, which I think is really fun for summer. It's going to be like June 10th through, I believe, like September 22nd. But in CommuniCore Plaza, there's also going to be a new meet and greet with Mickey and Minnie. Currently, that's taking place in the Imagination Pavilion. And Disney had previously said that in CommuniCore Hall, they're going to have like demo kitchen and gallery space and a mixology bar. So that'll be really fun when it opens. But you ready to go start with things to do in World Celebration? So World Celebration is at the very front of Epcot. When you are walking through the main entrance of Epcot, this is going to be the area where Spaceship Earth is. This is the area where the Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival takes place. The Imagination Pavilion is in this section. So this is where Journey into Imagination with Figment is, Imageworks, the What If Labs, which is kind of like a walkthrough after you get off of Figment. Dreamer's Point, which is the new Walt Disney statue. And the meet favorite Disney pals at Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival, which is currently Mickey and Minnie.
And I think in this section, normally Pooh's over there hanging out.
This is
behind,
what?
Behind the fence, Pooh's usually hanging out. By side of Figment.
Yes.
So if you look around, I think they're doing a lot better job with, like, characters.
Well, I guess technically Pooh meets in World Nature, because World Celebration and World Nature are right next to each other. But yes, you're right.
You see him there, yeah. Yeah. You can't meet him or anything, but you'll see him hanging out in the grass.
He's got his net, and he's catching honeybees.
So based on where you come into this park, this is one of three ways that you basically start the day.
Right.
You go right here, or you go left, or you come in the back. By France.
Right. The International Gateway.
That's where we come in.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like your intro.
Yeah. I love, like, Spaceship Earth was one of the things we were most excited about taking the girls on. I remember riding Spaceship Earth as a kid, and it's a slow-moving dark ride attraction. There's no height requirement, obviously, for it. There's no height requirement for anything in this section. And Spaceship Earth is just the quintessential, like, Disney attraction. It takes place inside of Spaceship Earth, which, if you don't know, is the big, quote-unquote, golf ball or ball at the front of Epcot. And I love that ride. Like, does it need a retheme? Yes, but it's so fun.
Yeah, this is a staple, obviously. This is top three for me.
Spaceship Earth.
I mean, as far as doing this ride, if you're starting the day here, it's gonna jump up and wait pretty quick because it's right at the front.
Right.
So I would recommend probably doing that one towards the end of the day if possible. But yeah, this is like this. The smells. I mean, I'm not really a history guy, but I guess I don't know. I mean,
history.
But just this thing sets the vibe. You sit back and you relax for 20 minutes, whatever it is, and anybody can ride it. It's just quiet, relaxing, get off your feet. You have to do this for sure.
And one of the cool things that I like about it is, we talked about this on a podcast episode recently, like, sometimes it takes you a few times to ride an attraction before you really understand it at Disney because there's so much going on. But this is the journey of communication through time, and that's what's so cool about it. Like Tony said, you can smell it. You smell Rome burning, like you smell, like all of these different things. It really incorporates all of your senses.
So I always say all the time, if you don't really do any kind of history or like what things you're gonna be doing, you're gonna miss it all.
Yeah,
you miss one, you're not gonna know what's going on really. If you don't really kind of, you know, they're like, how did you know the evolution of communication, like the whole work started all the way through,
right?
Like the internet and stuff. So like, yeah, you can go on this whole ride. I think I did the first time. It's like, I don't know what really happened.
There's so much to see,
there's so much to look at, and yeah. No, like the meet and greet over here in this area, too, you're not going to even know
Mickey and Minnie?
Unless you know it, you know, right. It's in the building, and it's for, it's only for the Disney card holders, or what was it?
No, that's a separate one. So there is a meet and greet for Disney Visa card holders that takes place in that same area, but this is a separate meet and greet that's with Mickey and Minnie. It used to just be Mickey, but now it's Mickey and Minnie. And we actually have never attended the Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival, but it's like when you walk out of that, you get to see Mickey and Minnie. Or if you can just walk in there and take a photo with them, too.
Yeah, I think if you know anything about Figment now, you know about the Figment ride.
Right, true.
Bring it back. We rode that thing a few times.
No, I think we've actually only ridden once. Figment once, yeah.
And they got the hype.
Yeah, we're not like huge Figment fans.
Yeah, that's all. All ages on that one, too.
What, the Figment?
Right.
Yeah.
No heights, nothing.
No, there's no heights. And so, and that's kind of the nice thing, is you can take your time, like, going through that. One of our favorite things at Epcot to do is, the way that people tend to go through Epcot, like you say, is they will start in the front of the park in the morning, because a lot of people are going through the main entrance. Only the people getting off the Skyliner or staying in the Epcot area resorts are going to come in the back entrance, that's our favorite way to come in. But the International Gateway, the pavilions there don't officially open till 11. Epcot opens at 9. So a lot of people go to the front of the park and will do their day in the front of the park, except for Remy's because it's in the back. But what our favorite way to do it is to do the opposite. Like, we'll wait for the pavilions to open, do those in the morning, and then, like, swap, you know?
We're going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
You're jumping ahead.
I'm sorry.
You're jumping ahead. Follow the script, ladies.
I'm sorry. Okay.
So that's World Celebration.
Yes.
Quote, unquote, by the golf ball, everybody wants to call it.
Yes.
Spaceship Earth.
Yes, Spaceship Earth. Moving on to World Nature. World Nature is actually one of my favorite pavilions at Epcot. In World Nature is Journey of Water inspired by Moana, The Seas with Nemo and Friends, The Seas Pavilion, Soarin' Around the World, Turtle Talk with Crush, Living with the Land, Bruce's Shark World, which is in the Seas Pavilion, and you can eat at Garden Grill with Mickey, Chip, and Dale.
So the World Nature is just that one pavilion.
World Nature is, yes. Well, it's the one pavilion where Soarin' is, like that pavilion, with the seas next to it, with the aquarium next to it.
Yeah, so this, I mean, you can spend all morning right here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially if you do, right? Like, we always like to go in, like, just talking about the Nemo, Find Nemo ride. Going right after that, there's the aquarium.
Right.
I mean, this is, you can spend
the seas
2 hours.
Yeah.
Between the ride, looking at the aquarium, doing turtle talk.
And as a fun fact, one of my favorite things to say about the aquarium is the aquarium is actually the second largest aquarium in the United States.
Yeah. There's a lot to see there. So going back to the, it's not a kid-friendly, like, what are you talking about?
No, absolutely.
This is a whole pavilion right here.
If you watch the Magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom, in some of the episodes, they will talk about the animals in the Seas Pavilion. So if you're familiar with that, you can kind of get familiar with those animals. The manatees, Big Little Joe, and Big... And like we love getting to go see the manatees every single time, and there's usually somebody who's in there that's talking about it. They're feeding them or something like that. There's also the there's dolphins now that are in the aquarium. I don't believe the dolphins used to be.
Sometimes you'll see people in there swimming around, cleaning stuff, just kind of just for show, I think. But what's the show that I come to every single time of watching? You can watch behind the scenes.
That's what I said. The Magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Tony was thinking.
Yeah. We were so excited to take the girls on the Seas with Nemo and Friends. This is a slow moving dark ride. It's really cool because it starts out where you're following Nemo and you're going through the story, but in the background of different scenes, there's the glass from the aquarium, and that's kind of a backdrop for the scene. It's a really, really cool dark ride. We couldn't wait to take the girls through it. There's like black light and stuff, and we knew that they would love that. They also loved the Seas Pavilion. Like, we have video of them just like staring at watching the dolphins. That was really fun. Journey of Water, inspired by Moana, is a new attraction that just opened up. We walked through it this past time. This is not going to be an attraction that you're going to have a wait time for. So you can go at any time.
I wouldn't call it an attraction. It's an experience.
A walkthrough. Yeah, an experience.
You're not painting on anything.
True.
You're walking through and it's got a bunch of water effects. This is going to be really good for the summertime for the kids. Either way, this is going straight for the kids in this one.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different experience night and day too, because lighting and everything.
Right.
So you can easily do this one twice.
Yeah, and there's an area in there that you can get wet in. Like Tony said, this will be a good attraction for summertime. Or you can do the dry path or the wet path. When we went through it, when we were at Disney in February, it was really crowded. Like, unseasonably crowded, I feel like.
It just opened up, too.
And, well, the whole park was crowded. But, yeah, then that attraction was really crowded, too. We went through it with our friend Meg. And she had been through it before. We had never had. I almost felt like it was, like, sensory overload because there were so many people. I would love to go back when maybe it's, like, a little bit slower or something like that and go walk through it. But I was telling Tony, like, as a mom, as the girls get bigger, if you could find like a slower morning at Epcot or slower afternoon or something like that, once the hype of this attraction slows down.
They call it an attraction.
They do call it an attraction. Once it slows down, this would be a really fun area to go explore with your kids because it teaches them about the journey of water and like the life cycle of water, which I think is really cool. And that kind of goes back to the original concept of Epcot.
Probably gonna talk about this 1,000 times too, but there's so many. There's like, I'd say 4 ways or something. 4 ways to do Epcot. Like, I would say you could do Epcot. I think you're talking about like just do the food
right.
one day. You know, just like this is a whole experience part too. So that you
right.
can just do, you know, do a couple days or just do the rides first. Like just yeah. do the rides, focus on rides, or just focus on like. Learning, like walking around, exploring everything, because there's so much stuff like this to do. with like the aquarium and like stuff where if you're here a full day, you're just going to cruise through. You're not looking at anything.
Yeah.
You're going to want to see everything there is to see, but you're not going to actually look at anything, appreciate anything, actually really see, you know,
that's true.
See anything. There's so many ways you can do it.
On our last trip with the girls, we actually did that. We did one day where we really just walked around and like sampled some of the food from the festival booths. That was the day that we walked through Moana. One day we did like the attractions and we did the pavilions, but we were really like looking through the pavilions. If you follow us on TikTok, we did a little like vlog on trying the treats from around the world at Epcot. And so we did that too. So we kind of split up the days, like you were saying.
Well, we talked about our last couple, probably a few episodes, but if it's going to be important for Epcot and you like want to like make sure you're there more one day, if you can, stay next to it. Like we stay at Boardwalk.
Right.
Or
Beach Club.
Like right there. Like, you can just walk right there.
Yeah, Swan and Dolphin are in that area too. If you're not married to staying in a Disney resort, they can be a little less expensive than Deluxe. I totally agree with that. I think that one of my favorite attractions in Epcot is Soarin' Around the World. This is an attraction where you're on a hang glider, you're going around the world, and you're flying over things, all of the like smells and everything like that. It's amazing. With that one, there's a 40-inch height requirement. So that's the only thing in this land that has a height requirement. In the Seas with Nemo and Friends, there's also Turtle Talk with Crush. We've never done that before, but I have a feeling we will be attending this very soon. Have you ever seen a video of that?
Yep.
I
don't know why we haven't. We probably not good.
I know we would. Sometimes it gets a lot, like it gets really crowded.
Just in the back, that way you can just watch.
True. Turtle Talk with Crushes is all the kids sit down on the floor, and they're able to ask Crush questions, and Crush actually answers them. So whether it's like a joke or questions about his environment or something like that, he'll answer them. Bruce's Shark World is kind of a little play area that's in the aquarium. We've walked through there before. Turtle Talk with Crush, I think, is going to be something that the girls are absolutely going to love as they get older. It's just really interactive. Eating at Garden Grill with Mickey, Chip, and Dale. We've never done that personally. A lot of people say this is their favorite character dining experience. This is kind of a moving character dining experience.
Yeah, it slowly rotates and you can see parts of Living in the Land.
Right.
Which Living in the Land is a slow build, right? Like another one, like no high requirement.
Right.
It's more educational. A lot of people talk through it all the time. Like we hate that, you know, just what?
Yeah. No, yeah.
So yeah, that's, I mean, and that's what I was thinking about too. Like there's Epcot, other than maybe two rides, almost all these rides, all your kids will like.
No, that's what I was going to say. There's only a few rides that even have any like high requirements or something like that.
Or that would make you sick.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't ride it. There's not that many.
Yeah, so I think that this area, like you said, is definitely an area you can spend so much time in. There's more dining than what I am including in this, but for the fact that this is like family-centric, I kind of just stuck to like including the character dining options. But like for example, in World Nature, the Seas with Nemo and Friends Pavilion, there's the Coral Reef restaurant. We've never eaten there before. We want to. I want to eat there because I think the girls would love to just get to stare at the aquarium the whole time we're eating. I've eaten there as a kid, and my mom had an allergic reaction to mahi-mahi there, as a side note.
So you want to bring her back.
It was really, actually, like, it's a funny memory. Her hands started swelling, and she was totally fine, so it wasn't, like, a serious reaction. But her hands started swelling and everything. She had no idea she was allergic to mahi-mahi, but it was really funny. I wanted to eat there because it was on Full House, and it's obviously changed a lot since then. Okay, next one is World Discovery. This is the section that is located when you're walking into Epcot. Like Tony said, you can go to the left or you can go to the right. So if you go to the left and skip World Celebration initially, you are going to be walking into World Discovery. In World Discovery, there's Mission Space. This one has a 40-inch height requirement. Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind has a 42-inch height requirement. And Test Track has a 40-inch height requirement. So
that's what I was talking about. These are the only ones.
That's what I was gonna say. It's actually just this area, right?
Yeah, this is like all that's in this area.
Yeah.
Other than now they have a
Space 220.
Yeah. So these are the only three like rides that you would kind of question like whether like Mission Space, young kids, anybody really. It's a simulator that NASA helped build.
Yeah.
You're blasting off. It's small quarters. Right. Claustrophobic.
You wrote it last time.
Yeah. But it's one of those most people don't ride. There's two different sides, a green and an orange. Orange is more intense. I think it flips. Green's, you know.
Orange, I think they both pull G's, but orange actually spins you, like you said.
And of course, the newest one, Guardians of the Galaxy, the best ride in Disney World, our opinion.
Yep.
Smoothest.
So just fun.
Everything. I mean,
they've got
it toned down perfect where you're not going to get sick on this ride. It's just, it spins, but it's not like a simulator type of feel.
Yeah, and this one has a 42-inch height requirement, but to me, this is a really, like, family-friendly attraction. Does it go fast?
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, do any inversions or anything like that.
Rewritability is crazy because of the different songs every time.
Yeah, there's, five different songs, and everybody wants to try to get, like, all of the songs. Test Track, this is his favorite attraction in Disney World. Don't let him tell you otherwise. This one is an attraction that is sponsored by Chevrolet where you are simulating building a test car and, you get to go through the attraction, go through the queue and everything, build your test car. You then load a test car vehicle and your car supposedly goes through like different testing and stuff like that. And then you go on an outdoor track, race around the track at 65 miles an hour. And then you see who won in your car. I rode it last time. I had always wanted to ride this ride as a kid. It opened up like shortly after my trip as a kid. And when I came back, it was not the same iteration. It's not either of our favorite attraction. I rode it again like the last time we were there.
Rider.
Yeah, I rode it single rider. You can ride single rider on this one because there's six seats in a car, so they want to fill in like the odd numbered spaces. Most people are two in a party or four in a party. It's kind of awkward if you do single rider just because everybody else has kind of built their cars. If you do single rider, you have to skip that. And then you're just kind of hopping in with people you don't know, but nonetheless,
the end of the day,
it's fun.
This is for family. This is not for kids.
Right.
This is not some, you know.
But
I'm riding in a car, short ride out the little track, and that's it.
It's fun. I think that the first iteration,
it's good.
Yeah, I think the first iteration of it was more fun. I think for kids, it's fun. A lot of people say, and Tony's one of the same people. I agree. You can drive faster on the highway, so it's not like it's like a big thrill because you're not like.
Because I don't want to drive my car. I don't want to go do it.
Well, so when it was originally built, it was really really cool, like the theming and everything. Now it's kind of like themed to like building cars of the future, and it doesn't really seem to flow as well. Disney announced at D23 they're planning on retheming this attraction. I've actually heard. I haven't seen like anything officially. But Disney is supposed to be moving the cast members that work on Test Track to other locations because it's going to be down for refurbishment. So that's just kind of like word on the
street. You can skip this one.
Yeah. In current iteration,
don't get your hopes up if you're an adult thinking it's going to be some intense, cool.
Yeah, because this one also, if you have Lightning Lane, like, so we don't typically get Genie Plus for this park. We did when we went this past time because we wanted to make sure the girls could get on to like all the attractions we wanted to. With this one, Test Track books up like quick for this attraction. So like you said, you can skip it. Okay.
Go for Guardians of the Galaxy and then Mission Space. That's basically always a walk-on.
Yeah.
There's never any line for that ever. So nobody really rides it.
Tony texted me. I was sitting outside with the girls and he texted me and you were like, I'm the only one in here.
Well, it's just the first one in, but no, there was no wait for this at all. Walk right in, basically.
We did Test Track on Mission Space on our first trip, and I liked it. Like, I would do it again. I just didn't do it that day, but next up in the...
Well, hold on.
Sorry.
I don't see a song on here, but how about the Odyssey? Do we have that anywhere? The little bit?
The Odyssey are kind of included in World Showcase, but it's kind of an outline.
It's a connector. It's kind of a shortcut. It's just a building where they have food, drinks, sometimes figment stuff, or the popcorn buckets that get out there, I think, you're in the virtual queue for. Is that spot?
Yeah, for the festivals, like the different popcorn buckets. So when we went to Epcot in 2020, the Odyssey was the building that was hosting, I can't remember the name of the show right now, but it was kind of like Project Epcot was Project Tomorrow was in Spaceship Earth on the backside, but it was basically like talking about like all the changes that were coming to Epcot. Right now, the Odyssey just kind of exists as a part of World Showcase, but it'll be interesting to see the way that they use that once the once like Communicore Hall opens and everything moves up to the front park for a festival.
Having our babies, the baby care center is in the back side of this, which you'll never know unless you know.
Yes. So, and as a fun fact, the baby care center and the first aid like shop, what do you call it? First aid booth? It's not a booth.
Close enough.
Yeah, the first aid building are in like the same space always. So yes, you're right.
It's just a cool area too. It has like three bridges there. Not three bridges, it's just a cool place to kind of walk around instead of just going like the standard path that everyone takes to go around the old loop.
Yeah. Oh, and before we move like officially on in World Discovery, Tony touched on like Space 220. We haven't gotten to eat there yet. I didn't include this. I maybe should have because it's a family friendly like area. But Space 220 also has a lounge too where you can go to. So if you're not able to get a dining reservation at Space 220, this is a prefix dining location.
Never been.
One of my biggest tips to it. Yeah, we've never been to it. But our thing is one, I've heard it's a really long like dining experience, which is fine.
I just want to even just see inside.
Yeah.
Why have you even done that?
Well, because like now we don't want to do the prefix dining because the girls probably aren't going to sit through a 2-hour meal. But you can always go to the lounge, but you have to get on the walk up wait list for it. And that typically like just doesn't, it hasn't happened yet for us. I think you tried.
They usually have somebody outside, which I didn't see anybody outside last time. I don't know if it was just too early, but I didn't see anybody outside with a little tablet. Maybe it was a little early,
but yeah, you usually can get on like a walk up wait list and just come back. We haven't. So if you don't want to do the prefix, you can always just do the lounge walk up wait list, or you can do, if you're like not with kids, you can always just do the bar. But you have to be 21 and up to sit at the bar.
To be determined.
Yeah. So, next up. Things to do in World Showcase.
So, here is people think of Epcot. This is all they think Epcot is sometimes.
Right.
It's the eat and drink around the world. That's all they can do.
And what I personally feel like Epcot has done, or Disney has done a really good job of in the last few years, is incorporating, like I said, characters into the park. But incorporating them in particular into World Showcase, because I feel like it was necessary. Because of the fact that a lot of people do go to World Showcase to have drinks and food from other countries. But this kind of breaks it up and makes it more family friendly, you know?
So we're going with basically the attractions for the most part here.
Yeah, we're going with the attractions. If you want to throw in dining, we can. I just didn't necessarily, like, include it. So, in the Norway Pavilion is Frozen Ever After. In the Mexico Pavilion, there's Grand Fiesta Tour with three Caballeros. There's Remy's Ratatouille Adventure in France. There's the American Adventure Show in America. There's Disney's DuckTales World Showcase Adventure that takes place throughout the park. The meet and greets are huge at the back of World Showcase. I don't think a lot of people realize that. So you can meet Anna and Elsa, Alice in Wonderland, Donald Duck, Mulan, Belle, Snow White, Princess Aurora, Princess Jasmine, Winnie the Pooh, Asia, which is from Wish. There is KidCot. So at each of the pavilions, you can have your kids do like a fun activity. There's a Beauty and Beast sing-along. And then you can also eat at Akershus Royal Banquet Hall with Belle, Ariel, Tiana, Snow White, and Aurora. There's way more to do in these pavilions. There's more shows and stuff. I just included the things I felt like were family friendly.
Yeah, this is like just the tip of the iceberg.
I know, there's so much to do.
I mean, just going through these are like just the rides. You still have the American Gardens Theater, which is so family friendly.
I forgot that one.
Which they have people playing.
True.
And performing. I mean,
but the American Adventure, I feel like that's such a fun show. And I don't know, do you feel like that's I felt like it was family friendly for kids.
Yeah, unless it's some old guy playing that nobody knows.
No, the American Adventure, the inside the pavilion, like the historical show.
Yeah, your little kids probably are going to get bored with that one. It's more like
it's a nice place to take a nap
for. It has the most animatronics.
The most animatronics.
Any other show attraction.
Yeah, one. And fun fact, that pavilion was built specifically to be able to house those animatronics. Like, that's why it's so big.
Yeah, the dip.
It's actually, like, sunken incline. Down. Yeah. So, in the Norway Pavilion, you have the Frozen Ever After ride, and I love that ride. We both do so much. Like, we...
I already said this is one of my top three. I mean, this was one of those... I never even thought I'd even ride, like, most guys probably ever.
Right.
You just don't... It's a lot... It's always a long line, so always, get a Genie Plus or whatever you can for this thing. But once you ride it, even if you don't... the story. It's just, you wouldn't even expect this ride to be what it is because it just looks like nothing from the outside.
And it's in my opinion, it's a longer ride. Like, even if you wait a long time for it, it's not like it's like a ride where like it's over in 10 seconds. The animatronics on it are really cool. It's just a really fun attraction. We rode it for the first time with some of our friends that happened to be at Disney at the same time as we were. They didn't happen to. I planned their trip and we planned it to like kind of cross paths one day. So we went to Epcot that day and we spent the evening with them. We rode it for the first time because their kids wanted to ride it. And it was so much fun. We had never ridden it before because like a lot of people were like, we're not going to wait in line for it. But we had extended evening hours. We rode it that way. This time we took the girls on it and they had so much fun, I think.
Yeah, so you can hold them. This is one of the ones that they actually rode.
Yeah, and we were wearing them on it. I can't wait to take them back on it in a couple of months because it's just so different now. They're 4 months now. They were 3 months then. They'll be 6 months when we go back. And I just think it's such a fun attraction. In the Mexico...
Other than Guardians, this would be the right people to say of Epcot, probably.
True, or Remy's.
That was close, but I still think it's probably Frozen.
It's something that I thought about. If you have little ones with you, or if you wear them in carriers... I feel like this park is the park that you have to take them out of the strollers the most. So you can typically like walk through Animal Kingdom with your kids in strollers all day long and not really have to pull them out except for on attractions. But in Epcot, because some of these pavilions get like so crowded and stuff like that, you can't take your kids in strollers into the Mexico Pavilion or specific places like that. So I would plan to wear them through this park if you can.
Yeah, we had to be strategic like most of the time. You just said if we figured it out, if we'd been there for half a day or whatever.
Yeah.
When are they sleeping? When do we need to have them on us? So I go back and forth and place them on a ride.
Yeah, and we didn't know. Like, for example, in World Nature, you can't take strollers into any of those pavilions.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So, the Seas Pavilion, where the aquarium is, we were just going to walk through there one night. We waited and did it another day so we could, so they could ride it and then they would already be in the carriers. And then we never even went into, Living with the Land just because we didn't want to have to take them out of their strollers again. So, back to World Showcase, Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros. I love this attraction so
much.
Going
all the way back to Mexico is worth looking.
Yes, back to Mexico.
Back to the front.
To the back. I love this attraction so much. We live in San Antonio and we're outside San Antonio and it reminds me of San Antonio being in the Mexico Pavilion because you've got the Riverwalk and stuff like that. Yes, the margaritas, but you also got the Riverwalk and stuff. And we're kind of floating. You're floating on a boat that kind of feels like one of the Riverwalk barges, you know?
Yeah.
So
we can skip this one. We like to ride it, but it's like we're not going to go over our way. It feels like we're back at the house.
The only thing that's hard about it is, so we typically go into the Mexico Pavilion. If you go in to grab a margarita from La Cava, which is always really fun, you can grab a margarita, but you can't take the margarita on the ride. So I would probably recommend riding the ride, then grabbing the margarita. The Mexico Pavilion in general is just really fun to walk around in.
It's dark. You can, no strollers again in this one.
In the Norway Pavilion, I don't feel like there is as much to do. There is like a short little like museum that you can walk through. But other than that, there's not like a whole lot to do there. But with that said, there is Princess Storybook Dining at Akershus Royal Banquet Hall. We haven't dined there yet. But I think that will quickly change, huh, Ben? Bentley just woke up, so she's with us. I think that will quickly change. And to get to dine with Belle, Ariel, Tiana, Snow White, and Aurora, you can dine here. Most of the Princess Dining locations on Disney property require 2 table service credits if you're on the Disney Dining Plan. This is the only one, though, that if you dine here for breakfast, it's actually 1 table service credit. So I would recommend, like, if you're trying to get, just stick to the dining plan, not using extra credits. I would dine here over Cinderella's Royal Table just because of the fact that it's 1 table service credit. You also can meet some of the characters from Frozen in the Norway Pavilion, so that's really fun. Over in the China Pavilion, you have the China show.
What's that saying? Almost every pavilion has some kind of show. There's so much to look at in every pavilion.
Right.
Like, it's a matter of what your party's interested in, like how old the kids are, who you're with.
Of China, I'm sorry.
You can spend a half hour, hour in every pavilion. Like, it depends on what you're interested in. There's plenty to do. There's more than enough to do.
Yeah, and the China, like, all these pavilions are really beautiful. In the Mexico pavilion, there's a garden that you can walk through that's gorgeous that a lot of people don't realize that you can walk through. In the China pavilion, outside of the building that hosts the Reflections of China, is a beautiful, like, garden that you can walk through too. So that's a really fun, like, thing to do. But it's, like you said, it just really depends on, like, what your family's interests are. Moving on to Remy's Ratatouille Adventure over in France. I love this attraction. It's so fun. We don't have to do it every single time we're at Disney, but I would like to. The only reason we don't is because sometimes it gets longer wait times. We wanted to do it with the girls this past time. Obviously, they weren't going to be wearing the 3D glasses anyway, so it wasn't really like a make or break, but we didn't get to ride it just because the line was too long. Yeah, it would have been more for us.
This one hovers around an hour almost all day.
Yeah. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, like, the Ratatouille movie is one of our favorite, like, Pixar movies. One of my favorite Pixar movies. We love walking through the France Pavilion. So when you go through the France Pavilion, you can ride Remy's. You can also do the Beauty and the Beast sing-along. I love the Beauty and the Beast sing-along. I love going to this, like, if we have time to. It's not something that, again, is a must-do, but if you have time, I think it's really fun with your family.
Going back to stuff to look at, like, just going into that one, there's all kinds of, like, costumes and, like,
right, from the actual Beauty and the Beast.
I mean, there's so much to look plays at. Every place you go to, you just gotta slow down.
Yeah.
And actual films and Snow White.
And this one is fun because there's, it's told from a different perspective. It's told from the perspective of LeFou.
Ooh.
So this one's, like, a little bit different. So even if you've seen the movie, you're still singing the same songs from the movie, but it's a different perspective of what took place. Also, too, like I said, Disney has a new program. It's called Disney DuckTales World Showcase Adventure. So you can do that through the Disney Play app. And it's kind of something that the kids can do that gets them involved in stuff. But KidCot is something that you can go into each pavilion, like I kind of touched on. And let's say you go into the Mexico Pavilion. You can find the KidCot booth, which is usually a table, and there's a cast member there. The kids can do a fun activity. They have a takeaway. They're learning something about each country. And then it's, like, some fun activity, so they're not just standing around while you sample food from the festival booths or something like that.
Yeah. Another way, Epcot, Disney Epcot, Disney corporate. They're trying to make this place just a kid-friendly. Like,
right.
Everything they're doing now is family, kid-oriented.
Like, yeah.
I mean, bringing all the rides. Yeah, walk-through attractions.
Yeah.
I mean, every pavilion has something for kids in it.
Yeah, and, like, the meet and greets, when I was writing this down, so you can meet Anna and Elsa, Alice in Wonderland, Donald Duck, who is in, like, a sombrero, Mulan, Belle, Snow White, Princess Aurora, Princess Jasmine, Winnie and the Pooh, and Aisha. One of my biggest recommendations when you're going to Disney for the first time, I always tell my guests to make a list of the characters they want to meet and then, like, plan to find out where those characters are meeting during their vacation. You can, like, in the instance of our niece, who is so excited to go to Disney next year for her 5th birthday, she would get to meet, I think, every one of her princesses that she wants to meet besides Rapunzel in Epcot. And so in Epcot, when it feels like maybe there's not as much to do for kids or something like that, incorporate these meet and greets, and then they get to have such a magical day alongside doing everything else that you're doing as a family.
And then on the whole opposite side, which is this part, is all the drinking, all the food, not drinking, but different drinks you can have.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, that's endless.
Right.
And that's something different that changes every year for the most part, as far as, like, new selections.
Yeah.
New drinks they have. I mean, that's a whole day right there.
You're talking about are you talking about the pavilions, or are you talking about the festivals?
Yeah, the whole world showcase.
Yeah, like, the pavilions, like, there's so much to do. So when we were going to Disney as a couple, we did a vlog on my TikTok that was just, like, we spent a date night at Disney. I'm sorry, a date night at Epcot. And we did a lot of things in the pavilions. As a family, we went through the pavilions, and we went through in the early morning hours because it does kind of get a little crazy in the evening times in the pavilions. And we went through each pavilion, tried to find the least expensive snack in each pavilion, a package treat to take home with us. And that was something that was really fun. So maybe it's not a package treat. Maybe it's, like, some type of, like, little postcard or souvenir or something like that that you can do that's really fun. And then, like, speaking of dining, like, when you're doing dining at Walt Disney World for your next vacation, if you're looking to book somewhere like Akershus Royal Banquet Hall or Garden Grill, check out Magical Alerts to set up dining reservation alerts for your trip. You'll select the location you're looking to dine at, the preferred date and time, and then when a reservation pops up, you'll get a text message with the dining opening and a link to click that'll take you directly to Disney's login to book the reservation. You can head to magicalalerts.com to begin setting up your dining alerts, and if you use the code DOUBLEDOSE at sign up, you'll receive a free alert added to your account. Which, as a side note, I'm super excited because I used Magical Alerts to set up dining reservation alerts for Topolino's for our next trip, and I got them yesterday.
It's easy to do.
Yep, so easy.
This is what Disney's about, though. It's like making things easier.
Right.
And just knowing how to do that. This is one way right here. I mean, just less stress, get things checked off, don't have to just be on the go, on your phone all day long.
Like, yeah.
Automate
the things that you can. And so, so I knew, like, we want to take the girls to Topolino's. That's going to be their first character breakfast. So I set up alerts. When you set up your account, you get, like, I think you get 10 alerts. You get 11 if you use the code DOUBLEDOSE. And I just set up alerts for every morning of our trip to see if I could get them. And then it popped up yesterday. So we've got dining reservations.
Yep.
Ben, are you so excited?
They're not even unique.
Yep. Well, maybe they'll be eating like little bites of something, but
who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Also, like Tony said, in Epcot, we didn't even really like get to like the festival booths and stuff like that. You said that the booths change all the time. And it's going to be interesting to me to see now that Communicore Hall is going to be opening, how that's going to impact the festival booths. But there's also really fun interactive activities. So during Festival of the Arts, it's the celebration of the culinary arts, the performing arts, and the visual arts. You'll have like visual artist painting. You have acrobats. You have the concerts that happen nightly at the America Garden Theater that Tony was talking about. During a Flower and Garden Festival, there's a lot of like gardens and topiaries and things like that to see. During Food and Wine Festival, was there like cooking demonstrations happening at Food and Wine Festival when we went that year?
I didn't see them.
I think that Disney used to have them, and I'm hoping that they're bringing them back once Communicore Hall is opening, because that's going to be their like festival space. But then for Festival of the Holidays, there's always the candlelight processional that's taking place, and there's a lot of like there's a different cultural representative from each country that is kind of talking about how they celebrate the holidays in that country.
We did this in another episode, just breaking down topiaries and things like that. But like,
right.
For every new festival, there's so much new stuff. Every time you go back, there's gonna be something new. Get the little passport. Is that just for?
There's passports for each festival.
For each one, so yeah, you always gotta get that.
Yeah, passport. Get the festival passport, and it'll show you the menus for each festival. But also, too, another thing that's cool is if you have, like, if you have any food allergies or anything like that, I always talk about how I eat gluten-free, you can search for the festival you'll be attending at Epcot on the Disney World app, and it will pull up the allergy-friendly menus.
Well, that makes it easy, too, especially if you're, like, us last time. We weren't, like, cruising through, but sometimes we'd be a little quicker, and you don't have to go up and look at menus. You got that in your hand, you know. Are you stopping here? No, we know what they got. You don't have to, you know.
And they always do too for the festivals. They'll do like a scavenger hunt. Our friend Meg always does those on her vlog. We talked about her before. She has a vlog called Magical Meg. And she'll go to the to Epcot to the festivals with her parents, and they'll do scavenger hunts throughout the parks. So that one's really fun. Sometimes it's gonna be like for Festival of the Arts, it's the Wonderful Walk of Color, I believe it is. And so you have to get like 5 different treats that are on this Wonderful Walk of Color menu. And then you get a special like smoothie at the end in a smoothie hub. Or
again, family kid oriented.
Yeah. Or if you buy the scavenger hunt, you're walking through the pavilions trying to find for Festival of the Arts, it's Figment. He's hidden in different like paintings and stuff like that. For a Flower and Garden Festival, it's Spike the Bee. It's always like a different character that you're trying to do a scavenger hunt for. So again, that pulls in kids.
And then one thing, the last shebang, which we haven't talked about tonight, They got fireworks here.
Yep.
I mean, that's...
It's currently luminous.
We didn't get to see them last time because we just had a...
Holding out hope.
Yeah, we had a too long a days and our little kiddos had to get to bed perfect time at 8 o'clock.
Are we going to hold out hope to make it Benny for the next trip? Maybe.
But yeah.
We'll see.
Fireworks are always really good here and they're usually at 9?
Yeah, they're always at 9 at Epcot, typically. And what's cool about Epcot is because they take place on World Showcase Lagoon, you can just kind of go up and stand around the water. You don't have to stake out a spot like you do with Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, there's no hour ahead. You can basically kind of just stop wherever you're going to see them.
Right.
There's better spots, clearly, but yeah. This is like World War III over there. There's smoke everywhere. It's like in the middle of just a,
Yeah, and so at Magic Kingdom, they have, what do they have? The dessert parties. But at Epcot, they don't do that currently. They have like, you can book, like, Spice Road Table or Rose and Crown for fireworks shining. I'm going to give you a hot take. Don't book those. Just go watch the fireworks around World Showcase Lagoon. Because in my opinion, Spice Road Table and Rose and Crown aren't the best spots to view the fireworks from anyway. And then you're paying to, like, yeah, it's kind of cool to eat dinner and watch the fireworks from your table. But you actually, my biggest pro tip is go to La Hacienda de San Angel, which is the... Mexico table service dining location on the water, not the one in the pavilion, and you can watch the fireworks from your table.
We gotta throw it in there. From our experience, nighttime at Epcot is like a lot of people say, it gets a little more crazy.
It does.
It gets louder. We had our girls there. We had a slight belt on. One of them was in the front of our store. We didn't realize she was crying. You couldn't hear. So that's one thing you gotta just know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Should we be there late at night and our kids are real small and they're going to, they're just too loud?
I mean, granted, our babies were tight and were I don't want to say.
3 months old.
Yeah, they were 3 months old. They, like, when we go back when they're 6 months old, it might be a little bit different. We also realized, too, if they're in the carriers and they're honest, the sound didn't bother them, obviously, in the same way as if they were just in the stroller by themselves. So, yeah, but you're right.
You can make this a 2-day park, but, don't be there all day long. Do a half day to do rides and do another half day to do all the eat that you're going to drink and eat and, fireworks. You just figure out that and which one, but.
Yeah, and if you do want to participate in, like, World Showcase in the evening time, maybe prioritize doing Epcot during the week because when you do it on the weekends, Epcot's the park that more locals go to. So when you do it on the weekends, it's going to be a little bit more crowded just because there's more locals there.
And we did it backwards. Most things kind of open at 11 o'clock, all the booths
right. And
food. So we did that first, and there were very few people back there, instead of doing it at night. So we like that. And then do the rides later when they get a little less crowded. Everybody's drinking around the world.
Right. Yeah, do the rides at the front of the park later. And that's always, like, something that's really fun, too. And if you were staying on the... Skyliner route, it's so fun to get to go through the back of the back entrance, which is the International Gateway. And actually, if you make a dining reservation to eat at, like, Topolino's for breakfast before you go to Epcot, you can still take the Skyliner from Riviera to walk through the back entrance.
Yeah, if you're not staying like at the Epcot resorts, stay on one with where the Skyliners. You have to.
A funny story is we stayed at Coronado one trip and we love Coronado, but the only thing was Coronado wasn't on the Skyliner. So one morning we took an Uber from Coronado over to Riviera, which wasn't far anyway, and all for the purpose of being able to get on the Skyliner.
Yeah, leaving it, not ideal, but getting there, yeah.
Especially get on the Skyliner. Get a Joffrey's coffee from the Caribbean Beach Skyliner Station or inside of Riviera. And a donut if you want to.
Big donut.
And then hop on that Skyliner and ride straight to Epcot. There's no more magical way to start your day.
And then Uber home.
Uber home. Oh, yeah, because...
Skyliner gets crazy good.
That's what I was going to... Yeah.
That's the only thing you gotta
I was like, why would we Uber? But yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you're not staying in one of the Epcot area resorts, the Skyliner gets crazy in the evening.
Just leave earlier if you already seen the fireworks.
True. Yeah, you can do that too. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, be sure to give us a follow at the Double Dose of Disney Fam on both Instagram and TikTok to keep the fun rolling. And please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. That goes so far to help us continue growing our audience. We will see you right back here next week.